words that I speak, everything that each of us hears and thinks about, be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Our gospel reading came from the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And it gives a very different set of values from those that many people hold today. J.B. Phillips, back in the 1960s, noted that most people think like this: happy are the pushers, for they get on in the world. Happy are the hard-boiled, for they never let life hurt them. Happy are they that complain, for they get their own way in the end. Happy are the blasé, they never worry about their sins. Happy are the slave drivers, for they get results. Happy are the knowledgeable people of the world, for they know their way around. Happy are the troublemakers, for people have to take notice of them. But Jesus said something quite different, and this is how J.B. Phillips translates the Beatitudes. Happy are those who realize their spiritual poverty. They have already entered the kingdom of reality. Happy are they who bear their share of the world's pain. In the long run, they will know more happiness than those who avoid it. Happy are those who accept life and their own limitations. They will find more in life than anybody else. Happy are those who are ready to make allowances and to forgive. They will know the love of God. Happy are those who are real in their thoughts and feelings. In the end, they will see the ultimate reality of God. Happy are those who help others to live together. They will be known to be doing God's work. We might ask ourselves what reading the Beatitudes might sound like in the developing world, in a favela in Brazil, for example, or on the streets of Mumbai. Or how it might sound to those receiving the new universal credit in a Gateshead tower block. Would they hear it the same way as we hear the Beatitudes? Mennonite author Donald Cradle wrote a book which is called The Upside Down Kingdom, and it's all about the Sermon on the Mount. He suggests that Jesus' words and insights bring a note of judgment on our affluence, our war-making, our status-seeking, and our religious exclusivism. The values of the world, he said, are turned on their head in the kingdom of God. The life and teaching of Jesus shows us the shape and form of the kingdom that God desires to see amongst us. We're invited to break free from the values, beliefs, and norms of the society in which we live, and to ask why. For Jesus presents us with parables and sermons where, to use Cradle's words, the good guys turn out to be the bad guys, and our prized values are questioned. Beatitudes follows on from chapter 4 in Matthew's Gospel, where we find Jesus being faced by temptations. Temptations in the arenas of politics and power. These present us with the reality of the temptations, of course, that we also face in our modern world. They each have social implications, as we see Jesus tempted to follow one of three options. There's the political option, where he is shown the nations of the world. There's the religious option, where he's invited to make a miraculous demonstration of his power in the temple. Or there is the economic option of providing bread for all the world's hungry. Now, Jesus might have tried to appease the political, religious, and economic power blocks of his day, but he chose a very different way. Jesus could have been the political liberating Messiah, a new Caesar overthrowing the world powers by force. But Jesus was a revolutionary who opted for words and acts of love rather than the zealot's dagger. Jesus could have begun his ministry with a miracle. He could have jumped off a pinnacle of the tower of the temple just to be caught by angels. But the signs that Jesus did perform were never enough for the religious leaders. Jesus demonstrated his messiahship through the offer of love and forgiveness to his followers, many of whom were repentant sinners and prostitutes who he met along the byways of Galilee. And of course, Jesus could have miraculously fed the poor, the oppressed, and the dispossessed masses, and so won the hearts of the people. But while this would have satisfied their immediate needs, it would not have addressed the injustice of the system that led to their condition. Instead, Jesus offers himself as living bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever follows me will never be hungry, said Jesus. A new way, a new foundation of living through which material bread will be distributed in a different way. We recognize today that the provision of aid to the developing world or a benefit system in the United Kingdom does not of itself address the injustices and the inequalities in the system. Through this service, we remember those who have given their lives in hope of a better world. A world at peace, a world where no one lives under the threat of violence or starvation. And in church, through the Eucharist, we worship and remember Jesus, who died to bring about loving relationships between all people, to bring freedom and healing, and lives full of the satisfaction that God designed for all women and men to know. In remembering those who died to bring about a changed world, and in remembering the death and resurrection of Jesus, may we be agents of change for a better community, a better society, and a better world. May it be true.